Welcome to Just a Minute. Sue Perkins here, and as the minute waltz fades away, what a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute, and welcome our small but mighty live audience who are here with us today. Let me introduce you to the four marvellous, talented people who are playing Just a Minute this week. They are Paul Merton, Jan Ravens, Jade Adams, and Dane Baptiste. Please whoop and cheer and go wild for all four of them. I'm going to ask them all to speak on a subject that I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. So we shall see how we go with that. And Paul, we will start with you. Subject on the card is how to make an entrance. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating, or deviating on how to make an entrance, starting now?
The first important thing is to select your wall. Make sure it's not a load-bearing one. With a pencil and a ruler, mark out exactly where you want your entrance to be. I would recommend that you take it all the way down to the floor, otherwise you're in danger of making a window rather than a door. Max Miller, a famous music hall comedian, was very good at making entrances.
Jade?
Did you say musical?
I did, yeah.
There was a slight slip of the tongue, which is rare for Paul, but a correct interjection, which means you get a point and the subject with 38 seconds. How to make an entrance. Jade, your time starts now.
I once made an entrance by coming onto stage on a throne made of doves and pearls whilst I wore an outfit made of gold, not real gold.
Jan.
Sorry, repetition of made of?
Yes, and they made a double gold as well. I want to know more about this outfit. That sounds like the definitive entrance.
A drag queen called Jackie Potato, she made me the outfit.
Correct challenge, you get the subject with 27 seconds remaining. How to make an entrance, starting now.
If you are going to make an entrance, you need somebody to announce you. So I believe in having one of those men that says your name out loud as you arrive. When I was in a production of Twelfth Night, I made an entrance by arriving on stage through a pool.
Pool.
Repetition of stage?
Yes, there was a repetition of stage.
Oh, damn, yes. It was such a marvellous entrance.
I know, Johnny. 9 seconds. A timely interruption by the master. You get 9 seconds on making an entrance. Paul, starting now.
Creating a hole, brick by bricks.
Jan.
Repetition of hole.
Hole?
Didn't you say make a hole in the wall in your first bit?
I can't remember, actually. I don't know. I might have done.
You cut into a wall somehow. So, yes, I believe that's a correct challenge. So you get that. Okay, 7 seconds remaining on how to make an entrance. Jan, your time starts now.
When you are making an entrance, you need a huge cloak with bat wing sleeves and a very big hat with feathers and studs and...
Speaking as the whistle went means you get the points. Jan, we stay with you. This is your subject. And something you're rather knowledgeable on, I believe. Unlikely aphrodisiacs. Some would say you are a master of this subject. I enjoy very much listening to you talk about it socially, so let's hear you talk about it formally. 60 seconds starting now.
The most unlikely aphrodisiacs occur when you are having an aperitif, because alcohol is a very unlikely aphrodisiac, because although it might make you feel relaxed and warm and sexy, in fact, you keep drinking and then you start to sense that you are becoming incapable of doing what you originally wanted to do, which was to have a fun time under the covers. And then you start eating pistachio nuts.
Oh, that was wonderfully specific.
It's true.
Lucky pistachio.
Dane, your interjection.
I feel like if Paul can't get away with music, then pistachio.
No, she was intoxicated.
It was more of a syllabic hesitation.
It was pistachio, yes. I think perhaps...
Pistachio. Pistachio.
Pistachio. See, I can't suddenly just go into Italian.
She's taking the pistachio right now, sir. Yeah, yeah.
Pistachio, eh?
Pistachio.
Hey, pistachio, huh?
So I'm going to uphold that. You're right. There was a slight bend of a vowel. And I'm going to give you that with 23 seconds remaining. Unlikely aphrodisiacs. Let's see what you make of that, starting now.
Matt Hancock in a suit would normally be an unlikely aphrodisiac, but for his former mistress, this was enough to entice her to approach the gentleman for a lustful encounter at the taxpayer's expense. Unlikely aphrodisiacs can range from various organs found on several mammals. Mannish water is a thin...
Say the phrase mannish water.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thin broth. It's a Jamaican dish that comes from oxen testicles, and some people consider it to be a delicacy or an aphrodisiac.
Mannish water.
Yeah, M-A-N-N-I-S-H.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Wow.
Look out for that, eh? Well done, you were speaking as the whistle went. Congrats there, Dane. And Jade, we are with you. Now, if anyone can talk about this, this is your birthright for me, this subject. It's Gertlush. Gert Lush. You've got 60 seconds to talk about Gert Lush. Your time starts now.
The expression Gert Lush means very much, but in 2018, I wrote a song called Gert Lush, which I will now read the lyrics of. My mother used to tell me when I was a kid, the secret to a happy life is Jade, get on with it. Some things you do will make you proud and some will make you blush.
Oh, Dane.
What have I done?
Repetition of Make. Make you proud and make you blush. Oh. I know that song like the back of my hand, Jade, and you know that.
That is a harsh interruption because we were into those lyrics. I'm very much minded to give you a point, Jade, because I was captivated. But under the rules of just a minute, I will have to hand the subject over to Dane with 38 seconds remaining, and it starts now.
Gert Lush sounds like a drag queen name, which I would have thought would have been the way that Jade approached this, but...
Jan, repetition of wood. Yes, hoist by your own very particular petard.
Or was I using a homonym when I was referring to wood from trees?
Ironically, too much wood, given that the previous subject was aphrodisiacs.
I concede my repetition. You are correct, Jan.
Yeah, that's gracious of you. It's also within the rules of just a minute. Jan gets the subject. 31 seconds on Gert Lush, starting now.
Gert Lush is a Bristolian expression meaning really great and absolutely unbeatable. And the thing in Bristol that I...
Oh, she said Bristol. I heard Bristolian.
Bristolian.
My bad.
No repetition there. 22 seconds. It stays with you, Jan, starting now.
In that city, the most remarkable thing is the Old Vic Theatre, and it is very historic, beautifully restored. It puts on productions of such beauty and worth, and it also was the situation where they started the proms, not the ones that were in the Albert Hall, but a whole...
Usually done, speaking as the whistle went, you get the point. And we are with you, Dane. Eurovision.
Oh.
Eurovision. How much do you love it? Perhaps hate Eurovision? Well, let's find out. You've got 60 seconds starting now.
It's been a common question among the lips of British citizens when we are going to win Eurovision. And I want to be the first to tell each and every member of this landmass, it's never going to happen.
It's happened several times in the past.
Yes, I suspect.
I could address you to Sandy Shaw, Puppet on a String, 1967.
1967, Paul?
Yeah, but you said it'll never happen.
Not when I'm around.
I think what's wrong is the fact that we actually had an entry one year called Scooch. I think that's... For those of you who don't know what a scooch is, it's something your dog does when it has a very, very itchy bottom. 1997 was the last time we won Eurovision.
Ah.
97. But I did... What I got from you saying we're never going to win was a future thing. Not that we never had one, but that it was a futuristic...
Never going to.
It was a prediction. It was a predictive statement.
Right, okay.
So I'm going to let you keep that, Dane, and you've got 47 seconds on Eurovision starting now.
Personally, I think that British music has been bolstered by the influx of immigrants and various cultures that have patronised the sonic landscape of this wonderful nation, which is the reason why we're unable to win Eurovision, because that's what music is without black people making it.
Paul.
Let him have it.
A repetition of win.
Yes, a repetition of win. There were two wins in there. 33 seconds, Paul, you get to discuss...
33,
I know. 33 seconds starting now.
As I walked along Tottenham Court Road the other day wearing a purple catsuit, people shouted out, "You're a vision!" And I was indeed. There was something of... Oh, for God's sake.
It's pearls before swine, Paul. Oh, dear. Who challenged? It was Jan.
Well, they challenged.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just felt I had to back them up, really.
Jan saw her moment to buzz in. What was your challenge, my lovely?
Hesitation.
I shall give you that, yes. You see, now you...
One person.
Oh, now you've answered.
And to be honest, I'm working her with my foot.
Jan, correct challenge. You get the subject. 25 seconds remaining.
25?
Yes. Oh, good.
Yes.
Good.
Everyone needs to suffer. It's Eurovision, after all. Go on, then. 25 seconds starting now.
The thing I love about Eurovision is getting to see all those videos of the people who are competing in their various countries, making music and rehearsing and wearing all their traditional costumes. Finland, Norway, Latvia, Montenegro, Croatia, France, Spain, the United Kingdom.
Oh.
I just wanted to be part of the show.
And you very much are. You very much are. Do you have a challenge?
No, no, it was...
Just boredom, really.
No.
OK, you've got 21 seconds remaining, Jan. I'm joking. Oh, you're so easily wound up, the lot of you tonight. You've got 2 seconds. 2 seconds, your time starts now. Speaking, or rather, ululating. Ululating as the whistle went. Well done. Okay, well, that was the end of that round. Time to maybe rustle up some scores. Slightly trailing, we have Jade. Just ahead of Jade, we have Paul, then Dane, and in the lead, we have Jan. Now, Paul, don't give up your day job.
Yes.
Which is the subject. Sorry, wasn't it? Don't give up your day job. What can you tell us about that in 60 seconds, without hesitating, repeating or deviating, starting now?
Well, I worked at Tooton Employment Office from 1977 to approximately February the 29th, 1980. I waited for a leap year day to come around, so I would never forget the moment I left that employ. People would say to me when I asked them what I should do with my life, they said, well, don't give up your day job. And I thought, well, that's a little bit silly, because if you need to succeed in show business, for example, you need...
Jade?
It just felt like a hesitation.
It felt like it.
Didn't it?
Was it a hesitation?
It was just like, there's another. That was like that.
Do you know what? I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. Jade, you're relatively new to the game, so listen, it's a pleasure to be able to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Thanks.
And to give you the subject with 37 seconds remaining, don't give up your day job. What have you got to say about that starting now?
I've had loads of jobs and I'm going to go through them all right now for you. The first job I had...
Dane.
The repetition?
Of?
Job?
Which is in the thing.
Yeah, it's on the subject.
All right, well then...
incorrect challenge, which means you keep the subject, Jade, for 32 seconds. Don't give up your day job starting now.
My first job was when I was 16 years old and my mother got me a job at Asda as a fishmonger. I was there for 6 weeks, completed full training as one of those people.
Paul.
Hesitation.
It was indeed hesitation, yep. Paul, we're back with you. Last we heard from you, you were in Tooting. I think you'd just been removed from your job and a life of show business was beckoning. In 21 seconds, tell us about don't give up on a day job.
I gave up full-time work in order to concentrate on building a career in show business. It took a long while for me to get anywhere, but I realised that if I was working 9 to 5, it would have been very difficult to concentrate on pursuing my ambition. And I suppose it's also a mention of the fact that you can, if you want to, be really successful in any kind of professional capacity.
Yeah. He took it, he ran with it, and he was speaking as the whistle was blown, meaning he gets the point. Jan, we are with you now, and your subject is the biggest gossip on the panel. Can you speak about that without hesitating, repeating or deviating? The biggest gossip on the panel. You've got 60 seconds starting now.
I am probably the biggest gossip on the panel. My advice to you is don't tell me any of your secrets, because I will...
Paul, I will hesitate.
Yes. I was leaning into that, the suspense.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
Well, maybe you'll get the subject back, but for now, that was a correct challenge.
Yeah.
So 48 seconds, Paul, on the biggest gossip on the panel. Tell us all, starting now.
The biggest gossip...
Dane.
Hesitation.
Yeah, absolutely bang on. 46 seconds, you take up the mantle. The biggest gossip on the panel, starting now.
The biggest gossip on the panel will not have me divulge any of my innermost thoughts, internal monologue, deepest, darkest secrets, and the things I intend to take with me to the grave will not be falling on the biggest gossip on the panel. The reason for this is because I keep a closed circle where we only ask of trust. Many have speculated that I may be a member of secret societies, secret cabals, and...
Oh, Jan. Yeah.
Secret repetition.
Yes.
Secret.
You gossip, Jan!
The circle of trust is broken.
We have heard.
Yes, correct challenge. It was indeed repetition. 20 seconds remaining, Jan. We're back with you. You kept us in tenterhooks last time. Let's see if you reveal the truth. Your time starts now.
I have heard that Sue Perkins has a... Oh, I can't even... I can't even!
No, because of the super injunction. As well you know, madam. Dane, thank you for sparing my blushes. What's your challenge?
Hesitation.
Indeed.
But to be fair, I'd heard it as well.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's got out. Okay. It's like a galloping horse now. That's what the doctor said. 14 seconds, Dane, with your correct challenge. The biggest gossip on the panel, please, starting now.
Tabloid publications might be one of the places you will find the biggest gossip on the panel. Myself speaking personally, conjecture is something I consider to be very toxic within our society. And for this particular reason...
Well done, you spoke as the whistle went. You picked up an extra point. And Jade, what have we got for you? Tribute acts. Right, you're going to smash this one. You've got 60 seconds. Tribute acts. In time starts now.
In 2015, I received several phone calls from many people that I know that the BBC were looking for people that impersonate...
Dane.
There's a repetition of people.
There was a repetition of people.
I'll get it back. You watch.
Yeah. I want you to be on this now, like a hawk. 49 seconds, correct challenge. Well done, Dane. You get the subject. Tribute act starting now.
Simon Cowell and his various television franchises have ruined the industry for tribute acts. There was a time within British society where if you were able to emulate a band or an individual artist or a group or even some kind of rap posse, you could get some of the trickle-down plaudits that would normally be enjoyed by that particular institution as a singularity. However, with the introduction of terrestrial television...
Jan.
Hesitation.
There was a stumble. There's a little bit of a stumble. So you get the subject with 21 seconds. Tribute acts, and your time starts now.
I love to see a tribute act, and one of the things I love, because...
Dane.
Repetition of love.
Yes. Indeed.
Well, you see, that's me all over.
You've got a lot to give. Lot
I've to got give. Too much love.
That's one of the biggest gossips on the panel.
16 seconds, Dane, starting now.
Gossip.
Paul.
Well, it was a hesitation.
Under the rules, you've got to get out the traps quick. And the thing is, you're a seasoned hand. And so I have to hold you up by those higher rules.
Firm but fair, Sue Perkins, firm but fair.
But always firm, and sometimes fair. Paul, you get the subject. 15 seconds, please, on tribute act, starting now.
I was once part of a Neville Chamberlain tribute act. Fantastic time we had. We would reenact the meetings in Munich with Adolf Hitler, and I would appear on stage wearing a little waistcoat and a trim moustache, and I would say, "Peace in our time," and everybody would cheer, because it seemed that those were the moments that people remembered.
Well done, you got in there as the whistle went, and therefore you pick up the point. Dane, now, something about a famous cuisine here. I mean, this is well known. British tapas. British tapas. Let's hear about that subject. British tapas, starting now.
Eggs, bacon, black pudding, chips and beans. These staples of the British diet is why we're not able to have British tapas. Although, after years of positive influence from several groups of immigrants, I think we've arrived at a culinary point within our social progress where we can enjoy British tapas. It would be like some of the aforementioned accoutrements and treats that I had alluded to at the beginning of this particular monologue. However, I'd find that you would reduce the size of said portions, much like a Weight Watchers meeting, in order for us to be able to enjoy British tapas. It wouldn't be particularly hard for us to veer towards this whole new state of dining within this country as members of the British nation. British tapas could...
Oh, no, sorry, I was going to buzz for British, but of course it's on the...
It's on the card. Yeah. It's on the card. An incorrect challenge.
Yep.
Which means you get a roll with British tapas for another 15 seconds. Your time starts now.
Crab sticks, whelks, jellied eels are examples of delicious treats and delicacies that could make up...
Paul.
I don't think crab sticks are delicious. And I don't know what sort of world you live in where they're a treat.
Personal culinary preference doesn't fall within the rules of just a minute.
No, fair enough.
So an incorrect challenge, which means you keep the subject, Dane. 7 seconds now remaining on British tapas.
Bourgeois palates such as Paul Merton's might prevent the enjoyment of British tapas, but for those of less discerning taste, I imagine you would enjoy...
End of the round, let's have some scores. Trailing a little, we've got Jade. Paul is ahead, then Dane, and in the lead, just in the lead, we've got Jan. Well done. We now move into the final round. It's a final round. I know, and it's with you, Dane. It's your subject, and it's thirst traps. Thirst traps. Can you speak on thirst traps without, I can barely say it, without deviating, hesitating or repeating? And your time starts now.
Social media is where the thirst trap would have originally been observed by members of the digital public and artificial intelligence alike. Thirst traps tend to include salacious pictures of people preening in provocative positions in order to solicit likes and validation from the unknown and anonymous public. I myself...
Jan.
Repetition of public.
Yeah, there was a repetition of public indeed. Well, listen. 36 seconds remaining for you on thirst traps, Jan. Can you speak on thirst traps starting now?
Thirst traps can take all sorts of forms for different people. I put a film on social media the other week of myself as Liz Truss in a big black furry hat. And this was given so many...
Jade.
Hesitation.
It's a little hesitation. A little hesitation. I think it was possibly remembering yourself dressed up as Liz Truss that...
It made me go a little bit funny, actually, yeah. You know.
Did you have the trouser leg just deftly lifted?
Yes, I know, it's lifted.
Yeah, just a little symbol, just a little sign.
But it is funny, you know, that people kind of find her sort of, you know, like attractive when actually, you know, and she sort of looks like she's looking for that all the time, like hoping that people are going to... But actually, she's gone very serious now. She's doing all these very important negotiations about the mince agreement. Pipelines of mince. Russia.
She's all about mints and pork markets.
Yes.
Mints and pork markets. I enjoyed that hugely. But well done. Yes, Jade, I'm going to give you that. Thirst traps. The subject is yours. You've got 19 seconds to bring it home. And your time starts now.
My favourite form of a thirst trap is when women mostly will post about the environment and then what happens after is an image of their ass appears on the social media. These women are...
Dane.
A repetition of women.
Your favourite women, yes, and the women then pose, yes.
I feel like you just hate women, Dane.
Dane is brutal with you, isn't he? He's
yeah, so brutal.
It's been a real hazing, I've got to be honest.
We used to be mates. What happened?
Just a minute happened.
You put a buzzer in that man's hand, he becomes a different person. I don't recognise him. 4 seconds, Dane, you've got on Thirst Traps. Your time starts now.
A cute round...
Jade, what's your challenge?
Nothing, I just...
Hesitation.
There was so much hesitation, I just...
Thing is, Dane, is that Jade hasn't played as often as you. And she needs the benefit of the doubt now.
I don't need to hear anything else. You're absolutely right, Jade. A valid interjection. I concede.
Why, thank you.
I don't know why you're clapping Dane. He doesn't have the right to say whether he's accepted or not. You've got 3 seconds. I'm going to give you that point for a correct challenge, Jade. And your time starts now.
Thirst traps are those things that people do on... Yeah.
That home. Anyone in the audience heard of a thirst trap before tonight? Just one man with an electronic tag on his ankle. Lovely to have you out and about. So as I said, that was our final round. Time for the scores. Jade trailing a little, but she has played the game so infrequently, she's done a magnificent job. Paul just ahead, Jan in second place, and our winner tonight is Dane Baptiste. And there, my lovelies, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave you. But first of all, thanks to our incredible players of the game tonight. Paul Merton, Jan Ravens, Jade Adams and Dane Baptiste. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised the show. And of course, to our wonderful, our darling Nicholas Parsons, who chaired this show just a minute for over 50 incredible years. We also thank Caroline Barlow for blowing her whistle with gusto. The producer was Hayley Sterling and this was a BBC Studios production. This is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks so much for listening. And please do join us again when we next play Just a Minute.